This is Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to.
I mean, there's no recreation centers or no escape. So only thing that you really have is violence. You have the drug dealing, which I'm fine with because drug dealers have kids. They have lives. They have responsibilities just like the rest of us. We've been living in poverty since I can remember. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that there's no jobs here. I look at our police, Baltimore City Police, as bullies. And this is why I feel that the rioting and the burning of buildings is needed, only because I look at it as a kid. And they bully you every day when you go to school. And if you walk up to your bully peacefully, which is what everybody say, we should be peaceful. If you walk up to your bully peacefully and say, hey man, can you please stop bullying me every day I come to school? I promise you, he will keep bullying you every day you come to school. Now, when you pick up something and you knock him upside his head, it gives him a different perspective. He says, oh, okay, now he's fighting back. Maybe I should stop bullying him before I end up bullying. And so that's what this situation is. This is us knocking the bully upside his head. As a city, we all came together and took part in peaceful protests and peaceful marches and things of that nature. What you didn't see was, you know, other, what could I call them, people antagonizing us to basically get a negative reaction.
Do you mean the police?
The police, as well as some people,
people who agree with the police behavior, and agree with the harm in African American people. Those people. I'm not going to characterize people in that way, but we have to be honest here and say the truth. It's a lot of people who agree with African American brutality. You have those people, and they are the majority.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore and all over.
I'm not going to incriminate myself, but I participated. I was out. I was in the middle of North and Fulton Avenue Monday, and you see a bunch of kids out there breaking in the stores. But if we were breaking into some Asian's bar and stealing their liquor or whatever it is that they have insured that will get paid for and replaced anyway, I mean, I don't look at that as so degrading or hurting our cause. It's a black-owned store right next door to the bar on North and Fulton Avenue that is untouched. It's a cell phone store. They sell mobile devices and things of that nature. It's black-owned. It was untouched. I'm saying if we had more black-owned businesses, we wouldn't be as destitute as we are for change.
Again, I don't support violence. I see both sides. I'm always going to see both sides because I'm an African-American as well. So I really didn't understand the reason and the concept of throwing rocks and hurting the police and things like that until I started to speak to other people and listen to their opinion and how they are kind of just fed up. You know what I mean? Like, the police is using violence towards us. Why can't we use it towards them?
Right.
That showed them how it feels
to be beat
up and
attacked
and hurt. You know what I mean? And so even though, again, I don't support violence, but honestly, you have to come to a point where something has to be done.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
We weren't out there hurting each other for once. You know, normally black and black crime occurs all the time here. But I can promise you there's been no murders within the last, you know, however many days black on black involved anyway, because we're all coming together at this point, and that's what makes me feel good. We're just trying to get attention. And if it takes us to burn this whole city down to get attention, we're gonna do that.
Good evening, everybody. As you can probably tell, tonight we're going to be talking about the Baltimore riots. And before we even get started, I want to make a statement. I understand that not all black people are criminals and that not all black people support what's going on in Baltimore. So I want to get that out of the way right now. Ghost and I probably disagree about what percentage of black people are the type to do and support this sort of thing, but I fully acknowledge that not every one of them do. So we don't need any not every black person arguments popping up in the listeners' heads, because what I'm going to be discussing tonight, what Ghost and I are going to be discussing tonight, is group behavior and societal issues. So how are you doing tonight, Ghost?
Eyes here and ready.
Okay, well, let's get started right off. Now, we played a bit of audio at the beginning of the show where this Rhodes Scholar from the hood,
R-O-A-D,
yeah, was explaining to what sounded like a British or Australian reporter all the good reasons why it's necessary to be attacking white people, looting Asian businesses, and setting the city on fire. I believe his first reason was that they have no recreational centers. And then he said, their fathers have all been taken away. And then he said, there are no black-owned businesses in town. So before we move on, let's talk about those points. Ghost, whose fault is it that there are no recreational centers in the hood, in your opinion?
Seems to me like they tore up the last one they built.
Yeah, and
we don't have any in our city either.
No, we sure don't. And you go into the white sections of town, and you won't find any of any town, and you will not find publicly funded recreational centers. If you do, it'll be in small towns where it's something like the city pool, and everyone in town, red, yellow, black, or white, has access to it. Now, why would the white community be on the hook to pay for everything in the black community? Why should the white community pay for recreational centers that they're just going to burn down and let, and if they don't burn it down, they're going to let it become decrepit? How did that become our responsibility?
Who said it was?
Well, the Rhodes Scholar said it was, for one.
He said the white people are going to have to pay for it.
Well, who pays the taxes in America? It comes mostly from white people. I can post charts from the U.S. government that show the amount of taxes paid and versus the amount of benefits taken by race, and whites and Asians pay, and blacks and Hispanics overwhelmingly receive. Now, that's not to say that many of them don't work and pay taxes, but as far as the ledger goes, they are deep, deep in the red. And it's also not to say that white people do not take advantage of welfare programs, but the per capita percentages are starkly different. The Huffington Post reported a year ago that 90% of black children are fed with food stamps. 90%. What this indicates to me is a failed race. What do you think about that, Ghost?
Sounds to me like they're undernourished.
Yeah, that would sound like it too, except when you look at the obesity rates, until about a year ago, both the United States Health Department and the World Health Organization said that the highest rate of obesity on Earth was among African Americans. But now that we have had such an influx of Mexicans over the last couple of decades, last year...
Couple weeks.
Well, yeah, yes, and that's another story. I'm sure we'll be doing more shows on that. The border crossings have increased recently, but yes, we have so many Latino Americans now
that the most obese group now is Mexican Americans, who, as we discussed last week or the week before, 74% of their households are on every form of welfare. But the but yes, you know, you say it sounds like they're starving. Well, apparently they're starving themselves into the Guinness record books for obesity. It's a very odd thing that here in America people can be referred to as poor, and they're so poor that they weigh 400 pounds and they have a big screen TV and a computer and air conditioning and you know, Xbox, PlayStation, video games, and every other creature comfort there is. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, I'm not begrudging people for having these things, but I'm pointing out that as of this moment, and for a good time now, claiming that someone in America is poor, especially when you're talking about minority groups who, by and large, have far greater access to government assistance programs than the majority of the whites and now the Asians, it's kind of a canard. I mean, you know, you want to talk about poor people, go to India or something like that. There's the only people in the United States who are starving to death are people who, for whatever reason, whether, you know, it's pride or they are incompetent or unable or whatever to access any kind of help. You know, as you know, everywhere you go on the corner, there's a church that has a food pantry that they give food out to anybody who says they're poor and lives in their area. And that's just a supplement to programs like WIC, TANF, which is welfare, temporary assistance to needy families, which that's an Orwellian term, temporary. And, you know, you've got the food stamp program where everybody gets their cards. In Texas, they call it the Lone Star card. You've got Section 8 housing to pay the rent. You've got other programs to pay the utilities. You've got assistance programs to get them a car. You've got the what they call the Obama phone program to get them a phone. And, it, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, you have these entitled pricks like the man we heard, I call him man with quotations around it, the man that we heard at the beginning of this video, who's at least 30 years old and showing everyone exactly what is wrong with the black race, not just here, but everywhere they are, everywhere that they live among other races, is that they will not accept one iota of responsibility for the problems that they find it in. It all bees Whitey's fault. It's all about slavery and Jim Crow and oppression. And they will never acknowledge that if anyone in the United States today is privileged, it is members of protected minority groups. And a protected minority group means that you are anything other than a single than a heterosexual white male.
You know, talking about the entitlements and blaming it, I mean, not blaming it, but saying they're the recipients of it. And I don't begrudge them the entitlements or the welfare. As long as we can send one dime to Israel to feed somebody else's plate and table, our people deserve it first to begin with. You cut it out of Israel, then you can start working with whittling that down.
Well, yeah, but, you know,
I don't begrudge it as long as we waste money over there.
Yeah, well, as much money.
I'd much rather spend on our people than theirs.
As much money as we send Israel, it's not much compared to the programs that I'm talking about. But I agree with you. Israel shouldn't get a penny. Anyone who wants to know what I think about
something like $50 billion a week.
Yeah. Anyone who knows what I want to think about Israel and the money they get and all that, go to azmador.com, azzmador.com, and click on the first story that you see.
Well, there's no doubt they think, here I'm talking about the black folks in America, they think they've gotten a raw deal. And if us over here on the white side can't see it, we just don't see it.
Well, the people...
Well, I mean, I'm here and I understand they've got problems and they... But I just don't see the problems being presented the way they're saying it is.
Well...
I just can't find it.
Here's the thing. They have a handout eternally, And they and it, you can never fill it. It doesn't matter how much money you spend on them. I mean, there's an article, and after I'll look it up during the break, and we'll talk about it after the break. But you know, you had the illustrious genius in the recording saying that, you know, inferring as best he could.
And he was the mayor of Baltimore?
No.
Oh.
No, the mayor of Baltimore is a black female who is about as smart as him, and we'll talk about her later in the show. But he was inferring that the reason that all this has to happen is because we just don't spend enough money on these poor Negroes. Well, that will never change, and there will never be enough money for them. There's a whole industry of black grievance, and it's been going on ever since the Jews formed the NAACP.
It would have been cheaper if we just give them the damn 40 acres and a mule to begin with.
It would have been cheaper if we'd have just done what Abraham Lincoln wanted to do and send them to Liberia. And it would have been better for them, and it would have been better for us. But now we're in a situation where we have this multicultural country. We're making it more multicultural every day. And every week, a different city is set on fire and looted. Now, I don't know how much of the clip made it to the beginning there, because it was so long we had to cut it down some. But I will post the entire video in the article with this show. And you'll be able to hear him say things like, they only looted the Asian businesses. The black businesses right next door to the Asian businesses, they're still fine.
Wait a minute. Isn't this after he just said there were no black businesses?
Yes.
So he's lied somewhere there.
He lied every word that he said. Here, let's go to another one. He says that we, white people, took all their fathers away. Now, how the hell did we do that? The fathers made a conscious, free choice. One day they said, hey, baby, little baby, I'm going to the store. See you never.
I thought he was talking about being in jail.
Well, there are lots of them in jail, of course. But when they commit robberies and rape and murder at these extreme rates that they do, is that us taking them away from their families, or is that us taking them away from their victims? You realize?
Yeah, you're
talking about, do you realize?
High percentage there, but
no. Do you realize?
Yes.
Do you realize that 52% of the murders committed in the United States are committed by black males between the age of 18 and 39? Black males between the age of 18 and 39 account for 4% of the United States population. 4% of the United States population committing 52% of the murders.
But still, most of them are in jail for not victimless crime.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. Yeah, the majority of them are not in jail for a victimless crime. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying they are,
the majority of them are not in there for drug dealing. And drug dealing of the type that blacks do is a lot different from the drug dealing of the type that whites do. Now, this is not to say that there aren't plenty of white drug dealers who are willing to sell hard drugs to children. But black drug dealing and the way that they do it is the reason that they get arrested far more often than whites. You will never drive through a white part of town, no matter how poor it is, and see white people standing out on the sidewalk shouting and whistling at you as you drive by, because they're standing there with crack or meth or heroin willing to sell it to whoever will walk up or drive up with $5 or $10. And the man whose death started all this Baltimore business, Freddie Gray, that's precisely what he did, and that's precisely what he was doing the day that the police arrested him. Now, I do have a little bit of a problem with the arrest, and I'll spit that one out right now. There's a video that I will also post it in the article of the arrest that was taken by a bystander. Now, it doesn't show when the officer's taking him down. When the camera starts rolling, they already have him on the ground. They already have him handcuffed. They pick him up, and he's screaming, and it appears that his leg is broken, though the autopsy has confirmed that it was not broken or dislocated. At the point that they picked him up and his leg was limp like that, and he was screaming in pain and everything, in my opinion, and according to the policy, just about every police department I've ever looked into, They should have set the man down and called EMS. And if he was faking, the EMS could have told him, hey, this guy's full of shit. There's nothing wrong with him. If there was something wrong with him, they could have taken care of it then. But I'm skeptical about what was wrong with him. And the reason that I'm skeptical about what was wrong with him is that there was another inmate in the van. And they picked up several others on the way back. I believe there are differing accounts from the news. It changes with each different report. But I've heard everything from between 4 and 7 times on the way to the jail that the van stopped to pick up somebody who was being arrested. The people in the back of the van claim that Freddie Gray was throwing himself around the van trying to injure himself so that, according to his own words, according to the witnesses, he would be able to have a lawsuit for police brutality and get his charges thrown out. Now, let me be clear. This was not a first-time offender. This Freddie Gray has been arrested on felony charges 18 times in the last 8 years, and these charges, most of them are for dealing heroin on the street, but there were also burglary charges.
What happened to the third strike law?
Well, living in Baltimore as he does, and this appears to be happening in most big cities across America, and I've intended to write an article about it for a long time. Black offenders get the majority of these charges dropped. See, when he would get arrested for these crimes, before he would ever go to court, he would have been arrested bunches and bunches of times. And when he would get to court, he entered a plea bargain on one of the charges here or there and get a couple of years in prison. And in exchange for that, they drop all the rest of them. And let me add to this. He 3 days before this arrest, he had been arrested for dealing heroin right there in that spot again. Now, I know that the semi-literate idiot of a district attorney that they have there in Baltimore claims that the arrest was unlawful, no probable cause, blah, 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 blah. But how many times do you have to arrest a person on the same piece of concrete for selling heroin before just seeing him there is probable cause? And it wasn't that they approached him and just started shaking him down. They walked up to him and saying, or biked up to him, whichever it was. These were bicycle cops. They biked up to him saying they wanted to talk to him. And when he saw them, he looked in their eyes and turned and started running. Now, I don't know about you, but it looks pretty suspicious to me. I don't know whether the threshold of probable cause was reached, but it sure sounds like reasonable suspicion. What do you think?
I have a problem with the cops even approaching him unless they were ready to seriously consider arresting him because they had no business talking to him.
Well, I'm sure they were ready, seriously considering arresting him.
They didn't walk up and say, we're the police, you're under arrest. They walked up and said, we'd like to talk.
Well, no, I was paraphrasing there. Uh-huh. They approached him, and he ran. And
did they taser him to stop him?
I don't believe they did. I believe they caught him and tackled him.
You know, the minute the police start talking, all I hear is lie, lie, lie.
Well, I know. And, the thing is, there are conflicting reports because, and I think this is a good thing, they're keeping quiet about the details until the investigation is done. And the reason I think this is a good thing is because of what we saw play out in Ferguson. The district attorney there in Ferguson, somebody in the district attorney's office, was leaking details of what was going on in the grand jury, but they were only apparently this person was political on some spectrum of the black power side, and they were leaking cherry-picked details. And then it turned out when all the grand jury stuff was released that a lot of stuff they were leaking was out-and-out lies. And so they're keeping real. And every time they would leak this stuff, Ferguson would catch fire again. And so now they're doing a pretty good job keeping mum on that stuff.
Yeah, it's a tragedy what's going on there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, if it were a revolution and that we were pushing for something, this isn't. This is a bunch of bunch of thugs rioting.
Yeah, and let me
the
make
same thing as Watts.
And let me make the point. We heard.
I understand their feelings are hurt, but to tear up your whole town's stupid.
Well, yeah, and let me make another point before we go to the break, which we're bumping right up against. One of the first things that you hear Black Einstein at the beginning of the video say is that the police are bullies. And when you have someone bullying you, say at school, you don't go up to the bully and politely say, please stop bullying me, because all he'll do is keep bullying you. He said, what you do is you pick something up in your hand and go upside his head with it. And then he thinks, he's fighting back. I better do something different. Well, there may be some logic to that, but it doesn't apply here. Because despite the fact that, yes, there have been 15 or 16 police injured during this thing, it's not the police that they're attacking. They are attacking white people. There's tons of video of that. When the thing first broke off last Sunday, it first started happening right before the beginning of the Orioles game. And right before the Orioles game, they've got all these open-air bars in Baltimore right around the stadium. And, of course, they were filled up with white people who were having a drink and socializing before going into the game. And the blacks showed up by the hundreds in an organized thing. And, you know, they had these little stands, kind of like snow cone stands or whatever, out there on the sidewalk that they're selling beers and mixed drinks from. And they went and took all their stuff, all the bottles and everything, and started throwing them at the whites. Some white people were stabbed. White people were beaten down by mobs. And throughout all of this, the police were ordered by the mayor to protect the blacks and allow them to do that. And we'll talk about that on the other side of this break.
Just keeping it Texas on an RFT. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. As Texas as chili and barbecue. Radio Free Texas, where you wanna be. RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
The liberty of Texas is under assault. The American Constitution has been shredded. The 10th Amendment has been forgotten. The meaning of freedom has been perverted. Washington's values and the values of Texans are opposites. Texans are victims of tyranny not seen since Santa Anna. Obamacare, oppressive taxation, porous borders, more socialism, and firearm restrictions. Sam Houston said, Texas will again lift his head and stand among the nations. It's time for Texas to be free. Texas independence now. The Texas Nationalist Movement.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We've got some questions coming in from Twitter. Before I address those, I want to remind everybody, please visit and support our sponsors. Go to texnat.org, TEXNAT.ORG, to check out the Texas Nationalist Movement. And RadioFreeTexas.com to hear the best country music, all made in Texas, which of course means that it is the best. All right, now to the Twitter questions. The first one that I'm going to address here comes from Fot Doppler. If you want to follow Fot Doppler, he is at FOTDOPPLER, at Fot Doppler on Twitter. Fot Doppler asks, what was the estimated property damage in Baltimore? Well, I looked into this. And what I have come up with is that there are a bunch of wildly varying numbers so far, and that none of them likely come near to the financial fallout that the United States taxpayer and the United States earner is going to have to pay over the next few decades because of all this. And let me explain with, first of all, with this article, impact of Baltimore riots will be costly, research suggests. This comes from bizjournals.com. It says, from lost revenue to canceled Orioles games, Monday's riots in Baltimore are sure to have a long-lasting effect in the city. Crowds spent hours on Monday and into the early morning on Tuesday looting stores and causing property damage across East and West Baltimore. A 2004 study on the 1992 Los Angeles riots showed that over the 10 years following the riots, there was a cumulative loss of at least $3.8 billion in taxable sales to the city. Now think about that. That's $3.8 billion lost in taxable sales. That's all that they're talking about there. No one's talking about the cost to rebuild businesses. No one's talking about the cost to rebuild homes. No one's talking about the cost of having to repair destroyed infrastructure. $3.8 billion just in lost sales. And that's not even factoring in tourism and such, which they are already saying is really suffering in Baltimore. And I think anybody can understand why. I mean, you know, the main reasons to go doing any type of tourism in Baltimore is to experience, American history. Baltimore is an old city, and there's lots and lots of important historical landmarks there. There are lots of places there where important things happened during the Texas Revolution, the Civil War, on and on. But why would you want to subject yourself to what's going on there? And this isn't something new. Baltimore has been having problems of this type for a long time. There's a very, very famous video that went viral a year or so ago where a white tourist was in downtown Baltimore in broad daylight on a Sunday, was suddenly surrounded by dozens and dozens of blacks who just brazenly started trying to pull things out of his pockets. He managed to extricate himself from the crowd and tried to run, and got sucker punched and knocked out. And the blacks proceeded not only to steal his wallet, his phone, his keys, and everything else he had, they stripped him naked. This sort of thing does not promote tourism. So there is the best answer I've got for you, Fat Doppler. Sorry I don't have a better one, but the price is likely to be in the billions. And let's not forget how much it's costing the taxpayer to have several thousand police and several thousand National Guardsmen deployed 24/7 to try to keep the blacks from burning their city down. Now, let's see who else we've got here. Okay. Clitmint, whose Twitter handle is @Clitmint. That's @CLITMINT. Do you think they are using these riots with blacks as a way to install martial law light? No, I don't think they're using the riots as a way to install martial law light. I think they're using these riots as a cover to install the full calorie martial law. That's what they've got going in Baltimore right now, and to be honest with you, I don't see any other way to keep the city from burning down. But there are lots of problems with this. For a long time now, these black racial riots have been one of the focal points of the propaganda used by the police state to further their goal of always having ever more powers, more equipment, and so forth. There's a really interesting video of a black protester who decided he was going to show everybody and not obey the curfew by going out in front of the police line and dancing around after 10, basically showing them, you're not going to arrest me, I'm on the TV, and et cetera. Well, a Humvee comes driving up that apparently has the driver's side doors open, and the thing never even stops. It slows down a little bit as it gets alongside him. And these cops in their Darth Vader looking riot gear and everything, they just walk up and they give him the lineman's block with those shields and knock him into the Humvee, and the Humvee drives off. Now, of course, the tactic worked well and they enforced the curfew with it, but this should send a chill down everyone's spine, because what you're looking at there is precisely what our police are learning in Israel. Yes, you heard that right. Our police, for many years now, have been going to Israel, getting training in so-called anti-terrorism and anti-riot, or riot control tactics. Of course, they're doing all this so that when they invoke martial law on the general population, they're going to have all their tactics down, they're going to be plenty well practiced, and the voters will have handed them over plenty of powers to where they can do all they want to us as if they didn't have them already. And one of the things that other nationalists like myself that I want you to think about, as I've said, I don't have much, if any, problem with anything that the police and the National Guard have been doing in response to these riots. But if you look at the statistics, the police are a lot harder on white people than they are on black people. That's just a fact. Anybody who doesn't believe me, I've got the statistics straight from the United States government and the various police departments across the United States to prove it. Now, if you think that they're, if you believe me that they're a little bit harder on whites, it's not just a little bit, but if you believe me that they're a little bit harder on whites than they are on blacks, consider this. They come down like a hammer on nationalists every chance they get. If you are a nationalist, or if you're even enough of a right-wing conservative, you are on the radar of the authorities. I attended a protest nearly 2 years ago now, that was protesting the open border situation from last summer, when they had all the alleged children who were just crossing the border by the thousands each week. And the protest was organized by a local group, and they got all the necessary unconstitutional permits and all that. And so they stationed cops out there. Now, all day long, we had illegal aliens driving past us, drunk as skunks, throwing alcohol at us, throwing cups of piss at us. The police sat there and they watched it happen and did nothing. But if one of us stepped out of line, if we got a foot out in the road, or if somebody coming to attend the protest didn't signal properly before they turned into the parking lot or any of that, boy, they were Johnny on the spot making sure to let us have it. You think hard on that. If any time comes in the near future when enough white people have woken up that we organize along racial lines the way that every non-white group does, you think about how the police are going to treat us. Now, let's go to another question. What else do we have? Okay. Hashtag stop the Jews, who is at Jew Them Out, JEWTHEMOUT. She asks, why don't people have jobs out there? Don't they work? No, I don't believe they do for the most part. The unemployment rate for all Americans is very high, but it's the very highest among blacks. And in these urban ghetto areas, there's no work for them because, for the most part, no one is stupid enough to build businesses there because of the extremely high rate of crime and that sort of thing. And the insurance rates are through the roof because these places get torched, they get robbed, clerks get killed. It's a jungle. So the only people, for the most part, who are willing to make, or not to make, but to build businesses and run businesses in these all-black areas are immigrants, such as Asians and Arabs, who go in there and build them. And, of course, they don't want to hire the blacks because they're running family businesses. They've got their kids and their sisters and uncles and all that sort of thing to work there. And then there's that, you know, there's also the entitlement mentality. And of course, unfortunately, this stuff is starting to bleed into the poor sectors of white society as well, especially now that all the jobs are gone and our culture has been altered from a culture of marriage to a culture of unlimited free sex with no consequences, or at least that's the way it works in people's minds, where you have generation after generation of single mothers who are basically baby factories because every baby that they have increases the size of their benefits. And so what you have is the phenomenon of these single mothers who get their Section 8, food stamps, welfare, EBT, all that. And the baby daddy claims not to live there, but lives there and lives off our benefits as well, oftentimes supplementing their income through criminal activity. And as I said, unfortunately, this is starting to leach into the poor and blue-collar segments of white society as well. We have, here where I live, is a very economically depressed area, and there are some big subdivisions and trailer parks here that are very poor, and every other house has a multi-generational single mother on welfare, and they don't even really know what it's like to have a breadwinner in the house because they were raised in a house where there never was one, and the person who raised them was raised in a house where there never was one. I hope that answers your question somewhat, Jew them out. Let's see what else we've got.
You're doing pretty good this, Mr. Asmodor.
Well, thank you. Are you back from your little bit of work you had to do?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to interrupt, but you were sounding pretty good,
though. Well, thanks. I try. I do my best. Go ahead and talk a little bit, and let me find another question, Ghost.
Well, this question is pretty good. You know, I was thinking about something earlier. I was on that recording. But I had the guy was claiming, well, it's all right because insurance is going to pay for all this. I don't know what insurance policy he buys, but they don't pay for riots damage, and they don't pay for insurrection damage.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, you'd pay a pretty premium to even get such a thing.
Yeah, those kind of fall under a similar category as what they call an act of God, like when the neighbor's tree falls on your house. They're not going to pay it.
They're not. I would probably get more, probably be more likely to get paid under an act of God than I would on a riot. That's nonsense. They're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
They've destroyed their own cities. I do not understand that.
Yeah.
If you're going to fight a war against a problem, you go take it to the problem. You don't fight it in your own neighborhood. That isn't the problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to.
That's a riot. That's not fighting for justice.
Well, I have kind of an answer to that, and I don't want to dwell on it too long because I've got some more questions from people on Twitter here. But my answer to that is you look to any so-called revolution in the history of the world other than maybe Haiti, and the blacks never did that. They were often in Africa and South America and in the Caribbean, they were often the foot soldiers of these revolutions. But they were never the ones who designed them and administered them and controlled them. That was done by the Jews, for the most part. There have been other interests. There have been bankers. And, of course, everybody knows that all over South America and the Middle East, the United States, through the CIA and the NSA and their black ops and so forth,
our government or have done that. Shadow government's been setting us up for this for 40 or 50 years.
Well, sure. But that's the same people that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the United States. You know,
about the federal bankers.
Well,
same thing.
Absolutely the same thing. Okay, I've got another question here, and this one also comes from Fott Doppler. He says, I hope you touch on that individual that cut the fire hose twice being used to put out a building fire. Yes, I will touch on that, Fott Doppler. excuse me. That's a video that's gone viral. It's been shown on the news a lot. It was during broad daylight. There's a, it's either a nice large house or it's an old house that's been converted to apartments, something like that. And it's on fire, broad daylight. And it definitely appears to be in the black part of town. So this is some black people's homes burning. The fire department is there. They're inside. They've got the fire hose out. Right in front of the news cameras, this subhuman runs up to the hose and gashes it open twice, rendering the fireman completely unable to put the building out.
Now you're not using facts that are in evidence.
What do you mean?
You can't prove he was human.
No, I said subhuman.
You can't prove he was subhuman. You can't prove he was human at all.
Well, I don't have to. That's true. That's true. You know, there are some places...
Some people did not evolve.
I agree. They're missing links. But there are some places that, out of respect to hidden mysteries, I don't go. And when I get my own show that will be a midweek show started that will be posted...
I really think we need to pick up this riding bunch of hoodlums up there in D.C. who thinks it's so bad over here for blacks. And put them back on a boat where they belong to Somalia and let them learn what black life is really all about.
I agree 100%.
I mean, Somalia would welcome them.
And I think we should take the people who are behind it all, who've been pulling the strings.
Put them back in Jerusalem.
Send them to their homeland in Israel.
I hate to do that to Jerusalem.
Why?
Send them to Tel Aviv.
Well...
Because regardless of what these religious folks think, I think that dome in the mosque is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking for some more questions here. Well, what are your thoughts on the guy
cutting the hose?
Cutting the hose, yeah.
I don't think he's a human. I think he needs to be. I'm surprised the fireman didn't take him out.
Well, if he's not a human, what is he?
Surprised the firemen didn't shoot him like a dead.
Well, there were no firemen out there. They were inside the building trying to put out the fire.
I got the video. Maybe he'll be arrested, but that won't do much good.
Yeah, if I remember, well, he had no. See, they're organized and they have a protocol now. And as we talked about before, this is being pushed and organized by the same people who. We're doing
lawsuit.
Ferguson. They're being paid. It's a bunch of blacks who are being paid by George Soros to be rioters 24/7.
Wait a minute. I think it was Southern Poverty Law Center that's paying them.
Well,
you can't just say George Soros.
No, I can just say George.
It had to be D.
Well, they may have helped, but I can just say George Soros because it's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt and has been reported on in lots of very dependable outlets. We talked about that last week or the week before.
He uses his money for what he wants, and so does Murdoch on the other side.
Yeah.
The Koch brothers.
Right.
There's a couple of Jewish boys there.
Well, and don't forget Mark Potok.
That sounds nasty.
Yeah, well, he's the front man for the SPLC now. He looks just like the rat-faced Jew caricature rubbing his hands that you see in all the cartoons. He's constantly on Fox News and MSNBC and all that talking about how horrible white people are.
Well, they've got this hate crime listed on their side of it that's going on in Baltimore, don't they?
If they have anything on their side about Baltimore... I'm sure that it's basically blaming the whole thing on white people and saying that the poor Negroes are justified in burning down all this stuff. Okay, I have this one's a little bit more humorous, I guess. I have another question from #StopTheJews. She wants to know, which do they find more insulting, being called a thug or a didn't do nothing? Well, I think that at this point, they find it more insulting to be called a thug. There's another video that's gone viral where Erin Burnett, I believe she's on CNN now, was interviewing the congressman from that section of Baltimore, and she pointed out that it wasn't just white people that were calling the rioters thugs, that President Obama had called them thugs. And just her bringing that up enraged him so that he said, quit calling them thugs. Why don't you just go ahead and call them niggers? You know, so right off the bat there, you see that they're very offended by the word thugs. Now, from my experience on Twitter and other social media,
how about thuggers?
Thiggers. Well, anyway, I don't think most of them, I think they know that it's them being referred to when you call them a dindu or a dindu nothing. But I don't think they understand yet what it means, what you're saying. And of course, for those out there who haven't heard this term, let me explain it a little quickly. It's two words, dindu nothing. It's spelled D-I-N-D-U and then N-U-F-F-I-N. And where that comes from.
Job hunting.
Huh?
Job hunting.
No, it's it's what they say when they go to court or when they're getting arrested on cops or whatever. They say, you know, what are you doing? And I didn't do nothing. But the term originated from the good folks over at therightstuff.biz. If you don't know about therightstuff.biz, I heartily endorse them. They have a great podcast that comes out every Monday or Tuesday called The Daily Shoah, and that's the same folks that are behind the famous videos like Shut It Down and Oven Man. but they have a really good take on a lot of stuff. They don't necessarily interact well with other reactionaries and white nationalist types out there on the internet, but their own show is good.
You and I were talking earlier about a documentary I watched called Make Money.
Uh-huh.
And they were explaining how the money man, what you're going to say is Jewish all the time, but the money man, bankers, the banksters, are orchestrating these chaotic riots. So they can go in and swoop up all that downtown property for nearly nothing.
Yeah.
They'll go in there, and then the government will put all the money in to rebuild it, and they'll be sitting back pretty and making all the profit.
Well, that's one of the most kosher tactics there is.
That's white welfare wet methods.
Is it white or is it Jewish?
Well,
because Jewish is not white.
Well, it's not black.
Right, exactly.
It's not. If you got to call a color a color, I don't know what color it would be.
Well, I guess the color of a Jew is gold. I don't know.
Technically, they're from the Indus Valley, so it'd be yellow.
Yeah, they're gold. Well, okay, now here,
that silversmith ain't gonna like that.
I'm sure there are probably some more questions already being tweeted to me, but so far here's one of the most interesting ones. This comes from Edelric, A-E-D-E-L-R-I-C, and his Twitter handle, if you want to follow him, is at Blagmatic. It's B-L-A-G-M-A-T-I-C. He wants to know, do you think the riots will go nationwide and perhaps spread to other cities, i.e. London? Well, here's what I think, Elric. I think that this spring that we're going through here with all these riots popping off in one city to the next, and as you know, they had a big one in Charleston the other day that hardly got any kind of media coverage because it's being so overshadowed by this giant Baltimore one. But yes, what we're entering now, as the summer comes on us, I believe is what I am going to call, you heard it first here, this is going to be the dirty black summer. It's going to be a rough one. It's going to go from one city to the next. And yes, I think it could well spread to cities outside the United States. As we saw in 2010, London is a racial tinderbox that the slightest spark just makes it go up. I mean, the news videos in 2010 made it look like that half of London was on fire, and I wouldn't be surprised to learn that that's not.
Well, if they do over there and do it in London, please go to the city of London and do it.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up another point, though. You know, this black grievance industry, one of the narratives.
Kind of like the Holocaust industry.
Yeah. The Holocaust is fake, and so is most of what the black grievance industry lives on. But the black grievance industry gets a huge percentage of its momentum from the slavery narrative. Well, now, if that's the case, then why do blacks in countries that never, ever practiced slavery nor colonialism, countries like Sweden, Norway, France, well, now France did practice colonialism, but they never had slavery in France. But why do they behave the same way no matter where they are? And why in black countries that are 100% black, why do they behave this way? This is not anything to do with slavery, because everyone who has studied history knows that blacks, you know, despite what they taught you in school, black chattel slavery is only a tiny percentage of the slavery that has been practiced throughout history. The Romans enslaved the Celts. They enslaved the Gauls. They enslaved everybody everywhere they went. The African Moors colonized and enslaved Europe for nearly 1,000 years. The first slaver in the United States was Anthony Johnson, a black man who went to court because he didn't want to release an indentured servant. And that established chattel slavery, because the court ruled with him that he could keep his slave forever and that he would own his slave's children and all that. And another thing they don't tell you is that a lot of his slaves were Irish. So there's your slavery narrative. Everybody's been enslaved.
I know the Cherokees were involved in slave trading, too.
Of course they were. And they got to keep their slaves a lot longer than anybody else did.
Well, the Republican Party did a fine job, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They messed this country up from 1861 forward.
Yep, they sure did. And
they were holding hands with them Democrats, but the Democrats weren't around in 1861.
No. No, the Democrats were not. But
all Democrats are now is Republican light.
Sure. And they're a lot bigger into the racial grievance industry. The Democrats basically operate on an anti-white coalition. That's what all their vote is. Yeah, there
were Republican majority Congresses under the Bushes, under Clinton. They didn't change any of these laws. They didn't relax any of them. They kept that industry alive. They could have killed that. But those laws that were created back in 1964 should have had a sunset clause.
Yeah,
I mean, goddamn, if they haven't fixed the damn thing in 60 years, they're never going to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the huge sums of money that we have just lavished on the black community. And as I said earlier, the Baltimore City schools spend almost $16,000 per pupil per semester. There, you cannot find a white public school in the United States anywhere that spends anything like that money. But yet, white students do far better than black students. And if you want to say that it's because of racism or because this is a white culture, well, here's my question to you. Why are the Asian students outperforming the white students? Is it because of all this Asian privilege that we have?
Because they did not listen to George Bush Jr.
Well, because
he thinks that we can 99 is 16, and that's close enough.
No, it's because they're genetically predisposed to intelligence, and they have a culture of parents who see to it that their children study, learn, and behave.
Right. It comes with from your youthful training of learning how to deal with logic.
Yeah.
You can handle logic problems. You've got it made in this world.
Well, the average black does not have a logic bone. They don't. Because
no, they got knees that are good.
There have been too many studies done.
They're great for football and basketball.
Yeah, well, there have been lots of studies done. Some of them more interesting than others, on black children who at infancy were adopted by wealthy white families. And on average, they do not perform any better than black children from single mother households in the ghetto. And that the ones that I said were even more interesting were ones where twins were given up for adoption, and one twin would be adopted by a non-white family and the other would be adopted by a wealthy white family, and you have the same thing again. And it all goes back to several factors. There were some famous university studies done about 20 years ago looking into the reasons for all this. And one of the things that they did was they tested for future time orientation. And they got children who were young enough that it really wasn't a factor on how they were raised. These were pre-K children. And they would get a white child at one time, then a black child the next, and they tabulated the results. And what they did was they had lollipops. And they had, in one hand, they had one lollipop. In the other hand, they had three lollipops. And they would ask the children, they would say, "You have a choice. You can have one lollipop now, or you can have three lollipops tomorrow." Almost all of the white children chose three lollipops tomorrow, and almost all of the black children chose one lollipop now. There's a lot of theorizing by anthropologists and evolution researchers on this, and the main consensus on this has to do with the fact that blacks evolved in a warm climate where there was plenty of fruit and vegetables and game, and whites evolved during the Ice Age in Europe where they had to learn how to plan for the future.
Well, how much of this probably thing is created by, I still call psychologists, I think they're quacks. I don't think that's a real medical determination of anything.
No, it isn't.
But how much of it have they justified this misbehaving and acting up by their prognosis of creating new diseases that never existed?
You mean how much have the blacks justified it that way?
How much
have
the psychologists been instilled into that?
Oh, you mean like psychological diseases, yes, that they've made up? Well, I'm sure that the consensus among the psychological community of quacks is that almost 100% of it is due to disorders that have been brought down on the poor blacks by the evil white devil and all of his white privilege and his colonialism and his slavery and his Jim Crow and his American apartheid and all that. And my answer to that is bullshit. Bullshit. You know, there is no making excuses for this. I saw a tweet the other day, and I wish I could remember the gal's name who put it out there, but it was under a hashtag, the meaning of life in six words, and I'm going to have to try to paraphrase her here, but it was, I can't even remember the whole thing, but the last two words in it were, embrace conflict, something else, and then accept responsibility. And that's one thing that the black community will not do. And I know whereof I speak here because, and this is no secret to our listeners or other people on Twitter that know me, for the longest, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And anyone who knows anything about substance abuse, the disease of substance abuse, knows that when a person who is a substance abuser is not in recovery, that's one of the things that is always present, is that they can't accept responsibility for their actions. And the day that I accepted responsibility for my actions, and this was many years ago, the day that I manned up, decided to be a man and not a child walking around in a great big man's body, I accepted responsibility and I put the drugs and alcohol down. And the black community is either going to have to learn to plan ahead, accept responsibility, and look after themselves, or one way or another, we are going to have to separate ourselves from them.
Well, or if they really have a justice to be sought, and I think they do have some valid arguments, the joblessness in Baltimore and other areas like Detroit is due to corporate culture moving out of the United States and leaving no jobs for anybody.
Well, that affects
downtown
everybody.
Areas much more than it did the smaller cities, because that's where the major corporations were centered. But if there is, you need to take the war to the people that harmed you, not the people you live with.
Well, I disagree. And let me tell you, the average black is unhirable. The only reason they get hired is because if you have a business that has enough employees and you don't hire them, boy, is the Justice Department going to be up your ass. You are going to pay out the nose.
I disagree with the sentiment, but like I said, those laws should have been tapered off years ago.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. Here's what I always want to know from blacks, and the only answer that they'll ever give me, other than, well, you must be a racist KKK Nazi mofo, if they are really willing to engage me, they always come at me with the same bullshit mantra, my slavery, my colonialism, my oppression, my Jim Crow. Okay, here's my question. If we have to pay to feed 90% of your children, if you have to have laws passed to get somebody to hire you, what is the problem? What's wrong with you? It appears to me that you're not able to function in Western society.
It also appears to me that the corporations and the businesses and the jobs that were available not just only to black, but to white too, have gone. They're out of here.
Well, yeah, but do you realize how many programs...
Everyone has sold them out and sold me out, sold you out, sold us down the river.
Do you realize how many... I agree with that, but I think it's getting a little off track. Do you realize how many programs there are?
It doesn't justify what they're doing.
No,
anymore,
no.
No, I'm not saying
I understand that, but I'm making a counterpoint to the point you just made. I'm not thinking you're trying to justify anything. Do you realize how many programs there are that give not only interest-free loans, but huge grants to any black person who will build a business? Do you realize...
I know if you're a black woman, you can easily get it.
Yeah, and do you realize how many laws there are that cause all the government contracting to have to be done through a huge percentage that far outweighs their percentage in society of black businesses? And that if you're a government contractor who happens to not be black, they have a racial quota of how many of your workers have to be black. They have every advantage. They may not have always, but they have, for the last 30, 40 years, blacks have had every advantage. I don't care what anybody says. This is black-run America.
They have had the advantage due to those laws that should have phased out because they didn't work.
Yeah, and if the and
they did not work,
and they have we have
they
given
have the same problems now they're griping about that they had in 1964.
And the problems are not our fault. And
no,
they're
suffering from the same problems.
And if as you said, and I agree, they have had every advantage for at least four decades now, and yet they still fail. What does that tell us? That tells us that no matter how much money we spend on them, no matter how much we allow our own government to sodomize us so that they can have every opportunity, that they are incapable of taking advantage of these opportunities. So phase them out. Let them compete. Let them stand up on their own two feet, pull up their bootstraps, and do something other than bitch. And now we're 20 minutes past our next scheduled break, so make a point and we'll go to break.
Nobody will ever pay attention to the tactic they're using.
Right.
It will not accomplish the goal.
Well, I'm hoping, and I am seeing this result on social media and on the alternative blogs, and even if you go to the right-wing blogs like Breitbart and all, where, you know, the conservatives are the biggest race cucks out there now. They're always hunting for the great black candidate, and they're the first, whenever a problem of black behavior comes up, they never blame it on blacks. They always say it's the Democrats that did this. Even lots of them are starting to wake up to the fact that whites need to organize, that whites have interests, and we need politicians just like the non-whites have who will say, I am going to represent the interests of white people. We don't have any of those right now, and we need them. And with that, unless you have something to add to that, Ghost.
Well, I'd have tapered it down a little bit, but yeah, go ahead. We need to go to the ads.
Okay, let's go to a break. And we'll probably put an extra commercial or two in because we have gone 42 minutes without a break. And we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
Truth seekers in freedom-loving Texas, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
Are you an unpublished author? You can get your manuscript published at incredibly low prices. TGS Publishing is the largest print-on-demand publisher in Texas. Visit tgspublishing.com for more details. Order as few as 50 copies of your book and keep your capital for marketing. TGS Publishers can get your literary work into print and published. tgspublishing.com.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and I want to correct an egregious error that I made at the beginning of the last segment. If you want to hear the best country music on earth, which means Texan country music, by going to Radio Free Texas, the address is not radiofreetexas.com, it's radiofreetexas.org, radiofreetexas.org. So with apologies to our wonderful sponsor, we'll continue this segment. I want to start off. I've got another comment here from Clitmint. That's at Clitmint, C-L-I-T-M-I-N-T. He says, I've the feeling the riots and Op Helm are tied. These riots give the Army a great chance to war game. What do you think about that, Ghost?
It does give the Army a great chance.
The Army, the police, all of them. It's getting real hard, especially when these riots occur, to tell the difference between the police and the Army. And as I said earlier in the show, that's understandable. And I might even say justifiable, because no matter who it is, you cannot allow a segment of a city's demographic to burn the city down, destroy the city. You know, you can't allow that. But whether or not this sort of thing is good for America is another question. And it's a deeper question that we're going to have to talk about on a future show, because it goes into a lot of bigger and even more controversial questions, which, of course, makes it very tasty to me. About, you know, is there any way to basically get the black segment of our society to assimilate, which they have not done in, 400 years of being on this continent? And if so, is that even desirable? And if not, what are the solutions? So, unless you have something else to say about that, Ghost, I guess we'll move on.
Well, they could all move to Wisconsin and assimilate all in one spot.
Wisconsin
started this mess.
Wisconsin, why? Because that's where the GOP was founded?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not I wouldn't want to do that to the cheesehead on the street. I've known some people from Wisconsin. They're pretty decent people.
Cheese, too.
Yeah, yep. They make good cheese. All right, let's talk about the response of the black city government. As everyone who watches the news knows, that the day after the riots began, the mayor, who is a black female, went on network television, gave a press conference. And to sum it up, I will post a video of that also in this article, but to sum it up, by paraphrasing her, she says that it was important to protect the rights of the protesters. Therefore, they provided a safe space for people who wanted to destroy. Now, that is an exact quote. She said, "We provided a safe space for people who wished to destroy."
But it wasn't on the block where she lived.
No, it wasn't. It was right in front of the Orioles Stadium, as we talked about earlier. And it wasn't just property that they were destroying. They were attacking whites. This is why I tell people, you are hypnotized. There is a race war. The race war has been going on for some time. It's being directed by shadowy forces that you'll never see acknowledged in the mainstream media. The race war was a cold war for a long time. It's hot now. It's been hot for a couple of years. Well, it's been hot for a lot longer than that, but it's gotten so hot that it has made the network news now. So wake up and realize it, white people.
So do you think the war is all down next week or something going to start? This black race war?
No, it's already started.
Oh, I don't know. That's a wild stretch to go from a riot to a war.
I'm not going from a riot to a war. I'm going from the fact
that history would prove they're going to lose. I mean, they can't even hold their own countries together in Africa.
Yeah.
And they're no different than over here. I mean, that's your mitochondrial DNA determines your IQ, your intelligence quotient level, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that's not going to change just because they're over here.
No, it's not.
Environment.
But they are being...
We're Europeans or British or whatever from our heritage.
Well, the blacks in the West, especially in the United States, are being encouraged to do this and protected in doing this by our government.
Well, yeah.
If you see a huge riot going on downtown, say in Dallas, and they're setting buildings on fire, and the police are told to stand down and let them do it, and you say, "No, I'm not going to let them burn down my city," and so you form a vigilant committee, and you and all your neighbors and everybody who will join in goes down there and puts a stop to it, do you know what's going to happen? The police are going to let the blacks continue to burn and kill and rape and loot and do whatever they're doing.
That's what happens when you put a police force in your cities that have a lower mentality than the thugs.
Right, and they're going to arrest the white people and the non-whites. There would be lots of non-whites who would happily join one of these vigilant committees to stop the looters. They will take the people who try to stop the looters, and they will charge them with hate crimes. They'll make examples out of every one of them. I have no doubt of this. That is why I say the government of the Jew United States or the Jew World Order or whatever it is, this is why they push multiculturalism, because they profit off chaos.
Well, we haven't had a leadership in this country that will tell anybody the truth, will set anything right, set anybody straight. They prefer to expand the lie year after year after year to where a poor black person growing up in this country believes the lie.
Yeah, I think the last president we had who would tell the truth even part of the time was JFK.
I think you're right. I really do.
He was really our last president. When he opposed the bankers, they killed him for it. And every president since him has been controlled by them. Now, Ronald Reagan, when he got into office, had some ideas about maybe not doing one or two things the way the Jewish bankers and the world Zionists wanted done, and he got shot. And amazingly, from then on, he did everything just the way they wanted.
It's something what one coalition of corrupt individuals who happen to control the money of this world can do to keep their greed going.
Absolutely. And
keep feeding that greed through everybody else's chaos.
Yep. And one of our early shows, which, though it's not very polished, Ghost was great, but of course I was new at it, and so I was stuttering and fumbling a lot, but it's full of really good information, is The International Jew. That's our second or third show. If you go check it out on the website, there's a lot of good information in there. It's talking about Henry Ford's collection of articles from the Detroit Free Press, and I have a feeling that in the very near future we're going to have to do another show on it that will likely be longer, and we'll go deeper into the Jewish question when it comes to how did they gain all the control that they have, what is the effect of the control, what are their influences on every aspect of our society. But let's get back to what's going on in Baltimore. The police were told to stand down. And there have been many police who have come forward and testified, well, not testified, but have given their story to network television. Of course, in every instance, they've got their face blurred and their voice altered and all that. But they tell word for word what they were told by this particular lieutenant commander when they were sending them out there. It's basically like sending the army to a war with no bullets for their guns, just flowers to stick down the barrel. And it didn't work. It didn't stop them. And, you know, what we've got going on here is this is fallout from, as I said before, the racial grievance industry and the Marxist Jewish media. The same people who push open borders, the same people who push every communist program that ever happens, the same people who push gun control, the same people who push the false narrative of white privilege. These people have been ramping this stuff up for years now in this culture war, and the chickens have come home to roost. And all they're doing is trying to ramp it up even more. And I think they'll succeed. What do you think, Ghost?
Well, I think we're all being played the fool. We're pawns in the game. And they're going to try to create a chaos over here that, you know, our black brothers do not want and we do not want.
Yeah.
And it's only to benefit the city of London.
Yeah.
Well, it's only to benefit the Rothschild types. By bringing chaos here, it brings the values back down, and they can come in and swoop up the property for nothing.
Yeah. Well, I
all amounts to, it's all a money game.
Yeah. I want to, that's fine for you to feel that way, but I want to separate myself from the term our black brothers. Those people down there are not my
brothers. Well, those in Baltimore are not our brothers.
Those people are my enemies. As I've said many times on this show, and I'm proud to say it, I am a nationalist. I am a nationalist, and I...
It doesn't make you a racist.
It doesn't make me a racist, but it means my race is my nation. At least in my definition of nationalism. My definition of nationalism and the definition of nationalism that a lot of other people use is different. But I think mine is the most classic definition of the term. I don't have any hate for other peoples. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. But right now, all over the world, and right here in my home, whites are under attack from every angle.
Okay, and compare this to what's going on in France.
Yep.
In Paris.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
It's Muslims doing it over there, though.
Well,
not blacks.
Well, no, it's both over there. But
remember the Muslims.
Yeah,
just giving carte blanche to the city to burn
it's, it. Yeah, it's and every Christmas or New Year's Eve, I can't remember which it is. I think it's Christmas. They set thousands of cars on fire in one day. It's like a holiday thing, and you know, this is what you get when you, and it's the reason that the cultural Marxists have done it. The reason that open borders and multiculturalism is pushed is because every group that is imported into a country that is not a member of the founding or indigenous, whichever the case may be, group of that country, is a fifth column in that country to be manipulated by forces both inside and out.
That's what happened to Rome.
That's exactly what happened to Rome.
It wasn't by color, it was by nationalism.
Right, but yeah, we'll see. And Rome is the perfect example, because one of the main problems we've got here is whether
your enemies.
Yeah, whether you believe it or not, America is an empire. It wasn't always, but it is now, and it has been for some time. And just like Rome, when Rome began, the people were sturdy. They worked hard. They were tough. They went out. They conquered. They built this empire. Well, as they started to amass the wealth that came from that empire, they started bringing slaves from all over the world, and that's the people who did all the work, and the Romans laid around and ate and frolicked and became immoral, and the next thing you know, no more Rome, because the Roman people were too soft to fix the problem. And I fear that the same thing has happened to American whites. I know damned well that it has happened to American conservatives and American liberals. This is why so often on Twitter I will ask, I have one question, conservatives. When are you going to quit whining for the worthless Republicans to save you and become a nationalist?
Well, that's what I would ask my Democrat brothers too.
Right.
They started that. They started the nationalist program back in about 1870, but they've lost their path.
Well, they
have lost their path.
Yeah, they lost it a long time ago.
Well, yeah, when they both held hands together back in the early 1900s. First started back then.
Yeah,
but the Democrat Party was started due to Southern nationalism.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was started to try to repair the damage caused by Reconstruction. It was started as an opposition to the Yankee occupation government, which we still live under. The Democratic Party was completely co-opted by Zio D.C.
They turned Republican on us.
Well, I you know, Republican and Democrat, as far as I'm concerned, they're just names on two masks. Well, because they work together.
That's the problem. One thing, the problem with the white America is that is their national parties. That is their nationalism.
Yeah. Well,
they don't care. They don't seem to care about their states,
yeah,
their cities, or their countries.
Right. Well, Ghost, we are really bumping up on a long show, so let's try to wind this thing down by talking about any ideas that we may have for solutions. Do you have any? Well, before you answer that, let me throw mine in there. I think that America, one way or another, and Europe as well, are about to be balkanized, whether they like it or not. And I think what we're going to have to do is provide a space for each group. You know, America is going to have to be carved up into pieces, and people who want to live in a multicultural society can go live in the piece that's a multicultural society. Blacks and Hispanics who want to live among their own kind only will have their sections where they can go. And whites who want to live with whites only can have their place where they want to go. I'm not saying that this stuff is easily done, but it's going to, in my opinion, it's going to end up sorting itself out sooner or later. I think the Turner Diaries are more of a prophecy than a fantasy, to be honest with you. And if we don't really get down to business and put aside all the PC bullshit and start discussing the hard facts and the real solutions, then the day of the rope is going to come, and nobody wants that.
Well, my solution is, of course, you already know the handwriting on the wall of mine, but I believe in Texas nationalism. I believe Texas should secede from the United States, should dissolve the agreements they've had, move out on its own, and take care of its own problems. And I think that we're competent enough in Texas to take care of these problems that are plaguing us, like the illegal immigration borders.
Yeah.
You know, why is a poor black in Dallas can't find a job? Because some illegal got him.
Right.
We can solve our own problems if we just get out of the United States and don't have to carry their burdens any longer.
Right. Well, I guess we're going to kind of end the show there. And as a little bit of an epilogue, I'd like to say that ending the show here where we're ending it, it leaves me with a really uneasy feeling, because the solutions that might save us, other than Ghost's solution, really seem out of reach.
My solution's only for 1/50th of us.
Right. And I don't believe that anybody's going to come, you know, enough people are going to come to grips with this to put off, to forestall the coming chaos. I think this stuff is going to heat up worse. I think we're going to have a really bad summer with it. It may be coming to a town near you.
All I can say is God bless the media pundits whenever the people find out the truth.
Yeah. And
he's no way else going to save them.
Like I said, there doesn't seem to be any solution that's easy enough that your average Republican or Democrat sitting on their couch being hypnotized by whatever mainstream media news cable network they prefer is going to want to participate in, because anything that will actually work will require most or all of them to get their big asses up off the couch and out in the streets.
Well, you talked about this before with me, that it's going to require almost a dictator with total martial law control.
Yep.
To set it back right.
That's right.
And start over, like rebooting your computer.
Yep. We're going to need a chancellor with absolute power.
You've got to be a good one, or we'll end up with something we don't really want. But
yeah.
But you're right. The system we've got now is out of control. It's democracy run rampant that was never supposed to be a democracy. It's federalism on its worst possible face, of which we're never supposed to have federalism.
Yep.
And everything is backwards from what it's supposed to be, and it's time to reboot the computer.
Yep. Well, those are wise words, Ghost. And so we're going to close the show with them. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. And to be honest, I hope you leave the show feeling as uneasy as I did, because it'll keep you thinking about solutions. So for Ghost, I'm Asmodor. Good night.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.